City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to City Current. It's Wednesday, May 9th, and we are in the studios at Dakota Media Access, and it's a Bismarck edition of City Current, which means Jason Tomanek is here.
Good morning, Mary.
Yeah, and our guest today is Gabe Schell.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in, Bismarck City Engineer. You've been here before, Gabe.
I have. Second time now. Excited.
And it's good to have you here because we want to talk about, eventually at the end of our show, we're going to talk about some construction projects that are going on this summer. So there's a lot going on with your department, and that's basically why you're here. But we want to start the show with talking about a project that's going on. I believe it's up in the northwest area of Bismarck, a water pressure issue. Notice went out, I think it was Monday, that said there's reduced water pressure in this area due to some construction already.
Yep. So as part of our street improvement projects, we'll be doing water main replacements. And as part of that process, we'll have to take certain lines offline for a period of time to facilitate that construction. So anytime that system is connected on multiple points, you find that you have better pressure and better flows. And once we start removing some of those connection points, there's a decrease in service for that period of time. So that's kind of what we're going through now for a temporary basis.
And that's May 10th through the 14th that water pressure will be reduced, as I understand it?
Yep, that would be the hope. I mean, Okay. Obviously it's all pending construction and making sure that those schedules are maintained, but I mean, that would be the intent.
Yeah, weather permitting.
Yep, all of those caveats.
I think we have a map that shows that particular area in Bismarck where that... not that map, a different map that we have showing the water pressure, reduced water pressure map. There you go. Thank you very much. Kind of gives us an idea of the area that will have that reduced water pressure. I-94 is the border on the north side. And Gabe, what's the rest of the boundaries here that people can be expecting?
Yeah, well, it's on Washington Street on the east side at Turnpike in Washington is where primarily I believe those repairs are occurring. And so that's kind of the choke point of that system at this point. So, but that's kind of what we've isolated it to, that we would expect those issues to be found at, and hopefully that's the case.
And the water main you're replacing is on Washington?
Correct. We'll be replacing the water main from on Washington Street from Divide Avenue all the way north up to Interstate Avenue as part of this project.
Starting out your spring with a big project already. Well, thanks for explaining that one. We'll move into the meeting last night of the City Commission, but they met first as the Board of Equalization.
That's right.
This was their final meeting as the Board of Equalization for the year. Mm-hmm. And at the last City Commission meeting, your City Assessor, Deb Goodsell, gave a report on the tax assessment process for the year. And at that meeting, then there was an opportunity for some property owners, if they had any objections or wanted clarification, they had an opportunity to come forward at that meeting.
That's right. And we did have a few that questioned the valuations of their properties. I think there was a significant increase over previous valuations for some. And Deb did a nice job of explaining the process of the steps that our assessors go through, certainly looking at comparables of like properties that have sold, the types of land uses that are going on, and all of that is part of the formula that then derives a valuation that the city assessors set, which ultimately results in a taxable valuation as well.
So she spent the last couple of weeks meeting with some of those property owners.
Correct.
Taking a deeper look with their staff. And then last night reported that some have been adjusted, some were not adjusted.
That's right.
And then those people who did not, who may still have objections or issues with it, have an opportunity to appeal now to the
Burley County Board
Burley
of Equalization.
County, or eventually the State Board of Equalization. Okay.
Yep. So there are a few more steps in the process, and it's certainly up to those property owners if they wish to pursue that.
But again, reviewing the action last night, then the Bismarck City Commission did adopt the plan that...
The recommendations from the assessors. Okay. Yep. So the valuations
Bismarck's
are fairly set for now.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Another thing happened after they adjourned as the Board of Equalization. You had the Vision 2030 group come forward. Some of the teams from Horizon Middle School presented.
We had a room full of sixth graders last night.
Yeah.
They brought a lot of energy with them. Yeah. It was fun to see their
Well, the media's projects. Reported on this project. I mean, mm-hmm. we've heard a bit about that. And Gabe, you've been involved in that since the beginning. We're actually part of the group that did the judging from these groups?
From the onset when DOT called the city of Bismarck and said, we'd like to do a project with you that's going to incorporate Bismarck Public Schools. It was so from the onset of that. And what was really amazing was those conversations started at the end of December. Mm-hmm. So it was really, in terms of planning and executing this, it was really amazing just the commitment that both the DOT and the city of Bismarck and especially Bismarck Public Schools had to kind of take that idea and run with it and really, mm-hmm. See what we could do with it.
So they had a bunch of teams from Horizon Middle School put together some ideas and a vision for the year 2030. And a lot of their plan had transportation components in it, the connection to the DOT and yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. That was the main goal, is to try to integrate how that transportation, whether it's a flying car or like how are our vehicles going to be fueled? Is it going to be with gas or a hydrogen leaf or what's going to be the fuel source? Okay. And so it was really interesting listening to those students through that process and understanding what research they went down in. And they went down a long path on some of these things that was beyond the scope of what I have any knowledge of. They got into holodecks and all sorts of things. And they'd just check in with us every once in a while to see, is this realistic to get done by 2030? And we'd say yes or maybe, or geez, I don't know. I can't see the future either. Yeah. But it was just a fun concept to work with the students as their imagination was just boundless.
So they had an opportunity last night to come in front of the city commission and make some comments. They didn't do their presentation again, but it was kind of fun seeing all these young people come forward, and they were still so excited about the project. Now, if people want to hear about their projects, there's a few of them that we'll be reporting on Saturday at the Department of Transportation is doing an event at their expo at the Bismarck Event Center on Saturday. It's free to the public. And at 3:00 on Saturday afternoon, then some of these teams will be reporting on their vision 2030.
That's correct. And there's events all through the day from like 8:00 until 4 or 5, I believe, that evening, all at the Event Center, celebrating the 100-year anniversary of the DOT being in existence.
Yeah. They had a big full-page ad in the Bismarck Tribune today, had a lot of that detailed out so you know what's going on, but it sounds like a lot of fun.
You can get a ride on an autonomous bus on Saturday if you're so inclined.
Nice.
So
lots of things to see, especially if it's free. Great time for families to go down there. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a nice, fun event last night at the City Commission. Always nice to have those kinds of things happen.
Uplifting.
And now we got to get down to business.
Yes.
Yeah. On the regular agenda last night, McCabe Methodist Church came forward with an appeal to the Board of Equalization.
Board of Adjustment.
Sorry about that.
So many boards.
So the Board of Adjustment had denied a permit for a daycare center at McCabe.
Right.
But the next step is then they had the opportunity to appeal this to the City Commission.
Right.
Really all kind of hinged on the requirement for outdoor recreational space that daycares are required to have. Yeah. And totally understandable, yes. Mm-hmm.
Our city ordinance requires not only indoor play space, but also outdoor play space, and that is prescribed based on the number of children. It's a simple formula. McCabe Methodist has a unique situation in that they have a full-size gymnasium within the walls of their church, so they felt that was an appropriate opportunity to let the kids exercise and recreate, but it's also my understanding that they have or will be working towards a formal agreement with Bismarck Public Schools to utilize the playground and equipment area near Wilmore Elementary. Mm-hmm. So City Commission did grant their appeal and essentially overturn the action of the Board of Adjustment, but it's predicated on having a written agreement with Bismarck Public Schools for the allowance of that playground area near the church.
So. Well, daycare is a big issue in the community.
It is.
So.
We hear about it often that daycares are not only hard to find, but not often enough do we have daycares. We hear that as one of the common struggles with young parents is that they have a hard time finding good quality daycare from time
to
time.
So now McCabe has this opportunity to move forward with their daycare operation.
Yep. In the past, I think they've had after-school programs for kids, and this is intended to be full-day, all-day daycare. Mm-hmm.
Well, just going back to the process that was followed here and the Board of Adjustment, they followed exactly what they're supposed to do. I mean, they can't find, they can't make exceptions. That's not their task.
Right. Their job is to determine whether the hardship that's presented by the applicant is in fact a true hardship. Mm-hmm. And the Board of Adjustment has a difficult job because typically the answer everybody's received up to that point is no.
Right.
The reason the answer is no is because the ordinance doesn't allow it. So there are certain times when unique situations do afford the granting of a variance. In this situation, the commission felt that having not only the gymnasium but also access to other outdoor recreational facilities.
Sure, the Wilmore Playground is pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got the Capitol grounds right across the street as well. Big open play space there too.
Sure.
So, and it's nice to have fresh air for your kids when you can. So
it was just another example of how the process works.
Yes.
And it we do televise the Board of Adjustment meetings as well. So we have seen this discussion start with them. And they had a lengthy discussion as well.
I'm sure.
Because,
yeah,
again, we all know how daycare is really needed in the community. So
it is.
Okay. So that one's moving forward. Last night, Keith Hunke, City Administrator Keith Hunke, came forward with a recommendation from the special task force that's been put together with your infrastructure committee as well as your special assessments task force.
Yeah. So those two task forces have been working primarily independently since late 2016. Those two groups came together at the end of 2017 and essentially vetted each other's recommendations on how to move forward. We're looking at funding mechanisms, sustainable funding mechanisms for street maintenance, as well as special assessments and things like this. So the recommendation that the task force has provided results in or hinges upon capping a property tax buy down. And then also the recommendation is to consider a 1/2 cent sales tax. So the commissioners received Keith's report last night and then turned it back over to the business community and said, please go vet this with your groups, your organizations, your colleagues, and we'll see if there's legs with this recommendation. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, if anything changes in regard to tax, we would be looking at that being a ballot issue. So the city commission doesn't have the authority to just simply add a 1/2 cent sales tax. That would become a conversation for the entire community.
Right. So a lot of options still out there.
No decisions made. Right. We certainly don't want to give anyone the impression that decisions were finalized last night. This is just a recommendation of the working task forces, and we'll see what the rest of the community thinks as we continue to go forward.
So it's another issue that's going to come back
to us.
We'll
keep people up to date. Absolutely. This is a big discussion.
Yeah.
It's an important discussion as well.
Right.
So,
and complex, many layers.
Very much so. There's a lot of education that would have to go into moving anything forward because it can be a confusing subject for anyone.
Well, it's big dollar amounts as well as special assessments. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the existing ones on the books, I think you reported not too long ago, was $30 million.
Yeah, it's up there.
Currently in play. Mm-hmm. So how do you deal with that as you try and change the system?
Right.
So very complicated.
And we're not the only ones looking at it. Other cities are certainly watching what Bismarck's doing. If you've read the Fargo Forum lately, they're looking at how to deal with special assessments differently. They've got a particular commissioner that's interested in this topic as well. So very, very interesting conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Well, you'll bring it back to us.
We will.
All right.
Certainly.
So we'll get into Gabe's area again. And this is an issue that we've talked about before is we've got some streets in the community that have been having some heavy traffic and a little more than average accident ratios. And you've got some, and they're currently two-lane roads that you're now looking at potentially to turn into three-lane conversion.
Yep, that's correct. Through a 2013 plan that the state of North Dakota, through their Department of Transportation, enacted, they looked at statewide safety issues. They started in Burley County, Burley and Bismarck, and then moved it statewide after that plan, the first plan was completed. And through that planning process, they identified certain corridors on Bismarck that were of higher crash potential, for rear-end crashes in particular, and what might be lower-cost solutions to fix those. So we're not trying to take off curbs and add lanes all over the place. We're just trying to use and utilize and leverage that existing pavement structure that's there and just rededicate what those lanes are for. So right now it might be two-lane roadway with parking on both sides. The concepts that were presented in that planning study were a three-lane road. And so with then the opportunity for state funding to participate in those types of projects. So once that plan was completed, as well as other planning studies that we've had, I mean, we've looked at then programming a project. And that project then takes that recommendation from a planning level that said, put a three lane on, it'll improve your safety. It also has the benefit from an operational perspective of not having to wait for that vehicle who's in front of you taking a left, but can't take that left turn because there's so many vehicles coming in the other direction. So it has an operational benefit as well. But the original plans never really got into what has to get taken away. And that's what we're trying to develop now in the project phase is the trade-offs. To put that three lane in, we're going to take away parking on one side or not if that alternative is moved forward.
Right. And you had a few options that you demonstrated last night or had on the screen. And we have those as well. There's some options that can be looked at. Also, we have a map. Not that map. We have a different map. Let's talk about that, where these roads are first. There we go. Yep. Thank you, Ben. These are the roads that have been identified, these existing two-lane roads that could potentially be three-lane roads.
Yeah, that's correct. We're looking at Divide Avenue from approximately the interstate out to 26th Avenue and Washington Street from Divide Avenue north to Century Avenue. 4th Street, I believe it goes from Avenue C all the way up to Century Avenue, and then 19th Street from Divide North to Hay Creek Court. And one of the unique or maybe even complex parts of this is that we have different roadway widths and we have different needs on these corridors. And so we're not necessarily advocating a one-size-fits-all approach to any of these things. It's going to be really looking at a segment-by-segment roadway-specific concept that we think will give us the best bang for our buck. So we're not trying to just splat a three-lane road on all of these. If it turns out, well, maybe we don't need that at a certain location because there's just not the left-turning traffic or not that demand for it, even though we could. I mean, it's in the funding, and the funding's available to do so, but we're trying to limit what those impacts are to the adjacent residents, knowing that it might come at the con of this is, taking away the parking that might be utilized by that business or property owner. So we're trying to balance that against the needs of the entire community who's using these roadways to get to their destinations and from their destinations on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
One of the interesting concepts was through the 2017 Livability Summit that was put on by the City of Bismarck, had a survey component with it. And one of those survey questions was just focused on transportation network solutions. And the number one solution was north-south.
Yeah.
Improving the north-south travel times and north-south mobility in our community. And so it's through projects like this is how we would try to make those incremental improvements.
Right. And out on the screen right now, we do have some of the options that are going to be explored. At the top of the screen is a do nothing option.
Yep. Always a very valid option because ultimately if we get into this project and we realize that those impacts are too much or the costs are too much or that there's not support for this sort of thing, then that's anytime we do a project, that is the option. It's always the option to do nothing and think about how we might want to rework that problem for a future solution. We do then have the alternatives, and all of these will have that concept of the two-way left turn lane integrated. But it's a question of what do we do with that leftover pavement after the two-way left turn lane might be in play.
Right.
And whether or not it's just putting that in play and nothing else, or it's putting bike lanes where you might have that empty space, or shifting the roadway to one side or the other so you can still leave parking on one side or the other, or even the option that's not on the screen to just put turn lanes at those specific intersections where we know it's critical. So it might be very specific localized locations where that might make the most sense too. So at this point, everything's on the table and that's what we're trying to vet.
And the process really is going to kick off at a public meeting that you're having on May 16th.
That's correct. So we'll have a public meeting on May 16th at 5:45 is when the presentation will start. The meeting itself will be an open house from 5:30 until 7:30. The meeting will go through this in a little more detail in terms of the options and the pros and cons of what those impacts might look like. But the goal of that is to receive the public input. And we need to understand from the public side, we'll have people saying, I want bike lanes. We'll have people saying, never, you should never have bike lanes. And we as the city help, weigh what those things mean and ultimately provide those recommendations to the commission so that they can make a decision on which alternatives we'd like to move forward with based on the recommendations that the engineering department comes up with.
Mm-hmm. And that meeting will be in the Tom Baker Room.
Yep, that's correct. And broadcast on Dakota Media Access.
We will have it live. We'll also store that meeting so people can watch it again and again. And that'll be basically the presentation portion of that.
That's correct.
So you'll walk through the locations, walk through the options, and take input at that meeting as well.
Yeah, we'll have an input opportunity at the meeting itself, as well as then both written comments or comments via an online form that we'll have set up by then on the city's website to engage and submit that input. And ultimately, having that written input is much more valuable for us for documentation practices than a phone call or a person-to-person conversation. Then now it's up to me to scribble down and write down what that conversation was. It's much more truer if the individual can provide that input themselves.
Sure. After the meeting then, Gabe, what's the timeline for these projects to move forward? What do you foresee as far as timing on some of this?
Sure. So the public input process, we will receive comments through the end of May. And after we have all that comment received, we'll go through and look at what our recommendations would be. So sometime in the summer, we will come up with what the recommendations would be to commission for them to support or change those, or at least accept and give a direction to us as staff. From that point forward, then we would then put together the plans that would need to be bid through the DOT's system for a 2019 construction project.
Okay. All right, so we're looking at next summer for the potential for some of these to be completed.
Yep, that's correct.
Oh, okay. All right. Sounds good. Well, let's talk about this summer. This summer, you've got a lot of we already talked about one big project that's already started, but you all have a number of projects that are going to be happening, and that's why we really wanted you here, is to talk about that, what people can expect in the city of Bismarck and what where all the detours will be or anything that might be going on in their neighborhood. So
certainly.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that.
Yep. So at this point, we have about $12 million worth of construction costs out the door. And those are all projects from either street maintenance type things, or we're replacing feed points on our electrical system. We're replacing water mains. We're, lining sewer projects. We're doing all sorts of different types of improvements coming from all sorts of funding sources, from property, from sales tax, from special assessing, from our utility funds, from our electrical utilities. So from all of our pots of money that we can pool from, we're trying to then make those incremental improvements and maintenance projects on our system. That's kind of there's a lot, and there's more to come also. So I should say it's $12 million to date, and that does not include any of the construction relating to new development that might not have the city directly involved, but might be put in by that land developer in terms of that activity as well.
Sure, sure. And you have a GIS map system in your department that's pretty extensive. You started years ago with more of a static type map. We can bring this website up here, too, of the 2018 construction projects. This is what a type of map you've been working with for quite a while.
Correct. So we'll make this map, our 2018 or 2017 or 2016, as you go back and forth, construction map, primarily to communicate to the community what that activity might be. We'll have residents or property owners call saying, I see that there's no parking signs in front of my house. What's going on here? And this would be one of the ways that we can help communicate the types of activity that might be occurring. Sometimes it's a street reconstruction that's tearing out their entire street in front of their home. Sometimes it's they're just replacing a feed point at that corner of an intersection, and they just need to do that for one day. This would hopefully give some context to that property owner to understand how intensive these uses would be. What we've done differently for this year is we've taken the same information that we've had on our static map, and we've tried to incorporate that into more of a interactive way of showing that same information. So we'll have this link live on our website, as well as pushed out on our social media platforms for individuals to come in and kind of be able to zoom in. I mean, that's the concept that, at these larger scale maps, such as the one we've created historically, I'm really used to looking at this map. I see this type of map every single day, every time we do a location map, or every time we see a plat come in or any sort of improvement. It all starts with where is that in relation to other things? So I might be very familiar with this, but the general public might not be used to looking at aerial photography and bird's eye views of our city. So we tried to find something that was scalable, that you would be able to zoom in and out of to see exactly where you live and know what that improvement is by having a searchable field that you'd be able to highlight and say, oh, that's the new street lighting that we anticipate at that project. So you might see a line in front of your home, And the goal would be to click in and dive in and get a little more information about that to understand exactly what's being planned in front of that particular property. We'll have the ability through these tabs on the top to filter out the improvements so that it only shows you the sewer type projects or only shows you the street repair type projects. And we'll have that live as well as we roll this thing out.
That's very cool. It's a really nice tool that you have here. And we apologize to some of our radio listeners. They can't really see what we're walking around on this map, but this is available now. It is on your website now?
Correct. It's live on our website now, and we're still making modifications and tweaks to it to improve its performance as we go.
So it's not final, but it is up and it is on the website and available at bismarcknd.gov under the city engineering department.
If we go bismarcknd.gov/streets, our streets page is kind of our portal that we can push things out to, and so we should have those links live to direct web traffic to these things. It looks great on your phone or your tablet. Mm-hmm. Also, it's a little different format, but still all the same good information. And that's the point, is trying to get that information out.
So, and again, this is just this summer. These are projects that are just going on in 2018.
Correct. Yep. That's 2018.
It's a lot of activity.
That is.
Throughout the city.
It really does reveal so much.
Looking at it, we don't concentrate on one area of town. We're taking a holistic approach to maintenance throughout the city from north to south and east to west.
Mm-hmm. So,
construction coming to a neighborhood near you.
Yeah.
And maybe just as a friendly reminder, when you see those orange cones, slow down. It's whatever you're doing is, I'm sure, very important as you're traversing through our system. But there are dangers ahead, and there's people that are working. That's their work site. So we just need to be very cognizant of that and aware that to keep safety at the number one focus.
Sure.
Yeah.
The city engineering department and all the contractors you work with, as well as our public works department out here working on some of these kinds
Absolutely.
Of things. Yeah. In fact, we talked, with Jeff Heinz at our last City Current about Public Works Week.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up at the end of the month.
Yep.
Okay. Honoring all the people who keep our city running along with city engineering. I mean, we just the other day, streetlights went out at 7th and Main due to an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the police department down there right away. I'm assuming your
Directing
department
traffic.
Was involved in this as well.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you plan for what your Monday is going to be, and then someone hits a traffic signal controller and takes it offline, and now it's trying to find spare parts and put it back together into a functional system. And until that's in place, it was stop signs out on our state highways.
We just kind of expect these things to get fixed. Mm-hmm. So thank goodness we have our department people.
Crew.
Yeah. Yeah. Working on all these things. And thank you for your work on this. And we'll look forward to getting in on this map. And if people have questions, they can always call the city as well and find out a little bit more. But this map is a very valuable tool. So bismarcknd.gov/streets.
That's correct.
You can find this map, and it's continuing to be worked on. So it's not quite final, but it is up now, and you can find out the general information.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So thank you. And thank you, Gabe, for coming in today to talk a little bit about what we're going to be seeing this summer out on the streets.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Thanks. And thank you.
You're welcome.
Jason,
thank you
for coming again. We're at about a year with our program now.
Yep. It's exciting.
You counted the number of programs for the Bismarck City Current?
I thought this is 24.
Okay.
So, which would make sense. We do two a month.
There you go.
So.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
You bet. Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.